Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop for another edition of our Straight Talk program, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at AndersonGriggs.com. Our thanks as well to Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care. Find out more online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. And to HighSpeedWeb.net that streams our signal 24/7, 365. Bill Meyer is with us. He directs Rock Hill's planning department and development department, whatever the official name is. We'll find out here. And he and his office were honored here recently, and I thought we ought to get him in here to talk about that honor. But before we do that, thanks for being here today, Bill. Appreciate it.
Enjoy it always, Manning.
Now, the official name of the department is?
Planning and Development.
Planning and Development. All right. I didn't know about the development. So tell everybody, it's been a while since you've been on the show. Tell everybody a little bit about your background, if you would.
Oh, my background. Well, I've been doing city planning now for over 35 years. And the good part is that my 13 and a half years in Rock Hill is the longest that I've been in any community. And worked in a lot of high-growth communities. Been a planning director since I was in my late 20s.
True.
And so seen a lot of stuff and tried to just kind of keep things in on the tracks and moving forward and making sure we don't mess anything up.
So you say you had other experience in other high-growth areas. When you first came to Rock Hill, did you ever imagine that it would be in the mode it is right now?
You know, this place has always been relatively fast-growing since the 90s, and you know, it didn't take a genius to see it coming down I-77, to be honest with you. But, you know, after working a lot over the years to try to get things to happen, they're all happening at one time now, it seems like.
And we're going to talk about that in a moment. But recently I was at the city council meeting a couple of weeks ago, and I was fascinated to watch a couple of, I guess, your peers from whatever the association was, honor your department for your Open for Business program. So, first of all, tell everybody what Open for Business is all about.
Our Open for Business program has evolved over the years. It really started from the idea that sometimes small business people in particular would kind of fall through the cracks in working their way through the process of picking out a piece of property, making improvements to it, making sure they have the right zoning, and all of those details that small business people aren't necessarily experts at. We all know that the Walmarts and the McDonald's and the Starbucks of the world have whole, you know, fleets of people that are designated only to deal with those issues. But, you know, the average small business person, unless they're in the real estate business, doesn't understand all those details.
Right.
And so we crafted that program to try to go ahead and provide information to folks, understanding that they have, you know, they may be a great hairstylist, they may be a great restaurateur, but they may have a lot of questions about where to find the right place to start up a business. So it's evolved over the years, and I think one of the reasons that we were recognized for the award is the fact that we've really turned it into a one-stop shop for these entrepreneurs and small business people, in the sense that we not only help them find a place to locate, help them make that business, you know, convert the building, deal with what the business needs to do to move in, but we take care of their utility accounts, we take care of their business licenses. People develop a relationship with our staff to the point where they don't have to go bouncing around other parts of City Hall. We'll take care of them and get them open on day one.
Well, that's nice. So it's hand-holding taken to the nth degree.
Exactly.
Yeah. So over the course, I mean, this program's been operational for how long now?
I would say the seeds of this program came in, gosh, almost 9-10 years ago.
Really?
And it's evolved to where it is today.
And over that period of time, I mean, what's your guess as to how many people have who have walked in and said, I need this kind of help?
Well, these days, you know, we're helping, you know, several hundred businesses every year. Some of those people are coming back to deal with licenses and other things. But as far as the folks coming in the door, there's probably about 40 or 50 businesses every year that we carry through that entire process. We handhold them from day one when they walk in and say, I want to start this business. I need some help finding the right place to locate it. And we will take them all the way through that process to turning on their utilities on day one.
Well, and there's no fee for any of this?
No.
Besides, I mean, obviously, if you start up and have to get a business license, you have to pay for that.
Yeah, if you have to pull building permits to modify your building, all those sorts of things. But, you know, the assistance is what we're providing to our small businesses for free.
So has this program, Open for Business, been modeled since you started it 10 years ago and in other places that you're aware of?
We were aware of other places that provided similar types of things, but frankly, we hear from local real estate folks and architects and other people who are in the business, you know, how they wish that other cities would provide a similar service. They do business in multiple jurisdictions, and it's rare for them to find this sort of thing. We're not unique. We know that other people provide a similar thing. I think we may be closer to unique in the sense of that entire handholding, including things like turning on utilities and taking care of those kinds of details.
I'll tell you what, it's easy to get lost if you're not familiar with a large operation. The city has, I mean, we're not a huge city, but we're a growing city, and there's lots of departments. And you can get lost pretty easy. This is neat. So the award came from whom?
The award came from the International Code Council. Those are basically the people that administer building codes across the entire country and a good part of the world. They have partners in that award that include the Association of Fire Chiefs, Fire Prevention Division, and the Fire Marshals Association. But it's given specifically for this kind of program. And before I go any further, I want to point out the fact that this is not just our department. It's an interdepartmental effort.
Sure.
And I know you had Otis and Travis from the fire department on earlier this week. They are our partners in this. And Travis is out there on these inspections with Mike Nugent, our building official, and our zoning folks every day. You know, helping these folks pick locations and understand what's in front of them as far as turning a raw space into their business.
Yeah, and it's, you know, the whole process of what you do in the planning and development department is to not only shepherd new businesses, but for people who are building or renovating buildings to make sure that they are up to what you call the building code, the international building code that all the cities subscribe to.
Right. And in South Carolina, the state actually adopts the building code. They make a few minor changes to it, but they pretty much adopt the building code that is used throughout the country.
Well, when you do that, I mean, and we were talking off the air, I know that one project that I've been involved with, when you take a 50-year-old building and you start to modify it, all of a sudden, whatever you're planning, whatever part of that space you're going to modify, has got to get up to the current building code. And that gets a bit tedious at times, but you got to do it.
Yeah, and just like those TV shows that we've all watched, it's not just for dramatic effect. Almost every project has major surprises that come up that you have to deal with.
But the point is, if you didn't have a set of standards for any community, and you just let people go throw up what they wanted to throw up and build it any way they wanted to, pretty soon you'd have a mess.
First of all, we have safety issues, especially safety issues for our first responders. If there's a fire in a building, they need to know that it was built in a way that they can apply their knowledge on how to fight that fire. And so that's why they rely on the provision of firewalls in a building to know how to attack that fire when it happens. You know, the safety of the people who are inside the buildings. The other thing that really comes into play also is when someone invests in a piece of property and you know you're in a community that is rigorously applying those codes, you know you have a level of quality. Now, that doesn't guarantee for the things that happened 50 or 70 or 90 years ago necessarily, but you know the stuff that's been done in the modern era in particular has been done according to code, and you can count on that level of quality in the building you're purchasing.
So with the Open for Business program, if you point out a particular possibility for whatever the business is, one of the things that they're going to find out pretty quickly from your department is whether or not you're going to have a whole lot of investment out of your pocket to get this building the way you want to get it.
Sure. And you know, a lot of the businesses we work with, especially startups, often look at converting single-family homes that are on major roads in town into a business. And that there's major ramifications there because of what's required for a commercial building versus a single-family home. You know, starting with the building, but also going to the fact that you have to create a parking lot, you have to deal with stormwater off of that parking lot, you have to deal with ADA access into the front door because you're now a public business that has to accommodate that. And you know, most people have kind of heard of most of these things, but they don't necessarily put the whole package together and understand the ramifications, and that's what we're there to try to help.
So for somebody who comes in as innocent as they can be without any experience and says to you, I want to use my home for my business, you probably start reciting what you just recited, and they'll probably reconsider that real quick.
Well, in most cases, their home is probably in a subdivision that's not even zoned for business.
There you go.
But, you know, but they may see that single-family house out on a major road in town that has not been converted yet for commercial use. And we go through a lot of those scenarios.
So now the city of Rock Hill has whatever its building code standards are. When you get out in the county, are they pretty much the same?
They're the same standards out in the county because, again, the state of South Carolina adopts those for everyone. There's no doubt that there are different organizations that, you know, focus more on specific issues. You know, we're here in the city, and so we everyone's by definition much closer together, and so there are certain things that we worry about an awful lot and make sure we get right.
Oh, I bet. So Open for Business has been recognized. And now, was this is this a recognition, something that they do every year? For,
they pick one jurisdiction every year to identify for, this is called their Innovations in Code Administration Award. You know, it's pretty dry stuff, actually. But nevertheless, it's nice to be recognized for,
oh, absolutely,
for trying to do a good job.
So over the 10 years, have you modified this program in any way to be more inclusive as far as things that need to be done on this big checklist of getting started in business?
We just try to make sure we're as comprehensive as possible. And we always have to warn people about the fact that because we're just there for a short time looking at things quickly, you know, we're going to give them the best shot on the obvious stuff. Back to your earlier story, when they open up the wall of that 50-year-old building, we can't guarantee they won't run into a surprise. But the obvious things that we can tell them about, the fact that it you have to do different things to put a restaurant into a building than, say, just an insurance office.
Sure.
And so, you know, we can see a lot of that stuff just with a quick walkthrough.
But the thing you said at the beginning, I think, is most important. The new business person, he is going to be able to develop a relationship with somebody within your department. So when this stuff pops up after they've had their initial visit, they got somebody to go back to and say, remember me? I've run into this or I've run into that.
We pride ourselves on answering the phone, and our staff has fielded a lot of questions about, you know, what day is my garbage day, or what are they going to do for this holiday, or all those other kinds of things that come up, and we're happy to do it because you know, the relationships is what it's all about.
Well, congratulations on the Open for Business Award. That was very nice and obviously well-deserved. So good for you all.
We appreciate that.
We're going to take our mid-program break. When we come back, we're going to talk about all this incredible growth going on in the city of Rock Hill and how that impacts the planning department as we continue our Straight Talk program live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. And, of course, we broadcast live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Bill Meyer knows what we do here. Fresh subs and salads 7 days a week, prepared right before your eyes. And we're going to tell everybody together, Bill, how we do it. One, two, three. Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden. You can speak up. Come on, it won't hurt. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
Hey, Manning, I hear the gyros are back at Substation 2.
That's right, Alex, and they are great. They're made to order, served hot on warm, soft pita bread with creamy tzatziki sauce, onion, and tomato. And I can't wait to get one.
Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Good Pharmacy, building trust for four generations.
This is pharmacist Kia Hicklin. Enjoy our spacious new modern look and take advantage of Rock Hill's original drive-thru with pickup and drop-off service.
My mom loves Good Pharmacy.
Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue, Rock Hill.
Don't resign your retirement plan to some rule of thumb. Your own personal retirement is unique to you and your family. Give our common sense investing approach a shot. Anderson Griggs Investments, a genuine money manager right here in Rock Hill. 324-5044 or online at AndersonGriggs.com.
Now available from Founders Federal Credit Union, Cash In. Cash In is the newest way to fund Founders Loyalty Select, our highest yield savings account. Use your rewards earning Founders credit cards and you can exchange your CU rewards points for a deposit to your Loyalty Select. Log into Founders Online to redeem your points today. Relax. Cash in your points. Account restrictions apply. Federally insured by NCUA.
Gold Hill Emergency Department is opening soon in Fort Mill. This is Michelle Walk, Emergency Department Director at Piedmont Medical Center. This January, Piedmont Medical Center will open the area's first standalone emergency room. Open 24/7, 365, the Gold Hill ED location will offer the same services as a hospital-based emergency room. There are 12 treatment spaces where our team of emergency medical professionals will be ready to treat any medical condition or injury you or your family need when it matters most. Visit GoldHillER.com to learn more.
Here's another great catering idea from Charlie Ruffalo at Substation 2.
Well, we have the giant party subs. We make them any way you want, usually like our number 19. They're delicious and will feed a crowd.
Whatever your catering needs, Substation 2 has lots of options. Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Bill Meyer is with us. He heads up the city's planning and development department, and they have just been recognized, and appropriately so, for the Open for Business program that the city's had for about 10 years. Well, talking about being open for business, we've talked about this quite a bit. The city of Rock Hill is in a massive building boom right now. Over a half a billion dollars worth of construction right in the downtown area. And on top of that, what's planned by the Carolina Panthers is going to be multiples of that. So do you have enough to do down there now, Bill?
Yeah, we're keeping busy. We're doing just fine.
So when all these projects, and when the RHEDC had its retreat, they had each of the developers roll out their project with their PowerPoints, and then they put a price tag on it. It was fascinating to watch. We all know pretty well the University Center project, University City project, which is underway. We're soon going to see, we're all crossing ourselves, the opening of the Indoor Sports and Events Center, which I think is actually going to have their first courtside activity coming up here later this month.
Yeah.
So I guess it's about ready to roll. But there's a lot of other pieces that are all going to pop up in that 25 acres over the next year to 18 months. I mean, it's just amazing what's going on over there.
Yeah, the University Center project is building out very quickly. But there are so many other projects beyond that. You know, one of the things that we've been tasked with here recently, and will be reporting back to the City Council on after the first of the year, is the whole issue of how do we get people in and out of downtown. And the good news is we've got a nice grid system, old-fashioned downtown grid system. You can move a lot of traffic. The thing that throws the monkey in the works is when that train stops in the middle of it all, and then we have to get people around the train. But we have a project underway right now to introduce technology and changeable signs so that we can tell all these visitors coming to our sports and events center how to get around the train and get back to Dave Lyle Boulevard, for example, or how to get to Cherry Road and get out of town that way if they need to. And so, you know, studying how we can support all of this development in the Knowledge Park area from a traffic standpoint is something that people always want to make sure we're on top of. And we feel good about it. We've already had that looked at by consultants. And there are some additional projects that we can do to fine-tune things, but we're in pretty good shape.
Yeah, I would say with the, you know, we've got four lanes coming in and out of downtown via Dave Law Boulevard. We've got, as you pointed out, got brand spanking new Cherry Road. By golly, it's done. It looks great.
Smooth.
Smooth. We got Constitution Boulevard. That's four more lanes. So we've got some main corridors. We got West Main Street, which is four lanes most of the way. So we're not in that bad of shape.
Yeah, we're in good shape in a downtown area, and we just need to stay on top of those issues. But that's something that's always of concern. The other thing that we've been introducing into a lot of our discussions on planning in the community in general is support of our bus system. You know, this thing's been successful, and we want to build on that. And we understand that in this day and age, there are a lot more people that will ride a bus if we provide them a good service. And part of that is putting development on Cherry Road, increasing the intensity of some of the development on Cherry Road so we can take advantage of that bus line, take advantage of the bus lines that go out to the Galleria area and out in the Heckle and Saluda Loop, and focus destinations and focus potential riders on those routes. And because the buzzword, we all remember back in the day when all we ever worried about was our cars, but so many people these days talk about the live, work, and play option, where they want to be able to walk to things, whether that's in a downtown area, Knowledge Park, or whether it's in an environment like Riverwalk, where people don't necessarily have to get in their cars to go to some of the places they would frequent on a daily basis.
Well, when you look at what's happening in downtown, and you know this better than I do, you've got, oh my gosh, well, we not only have the University City project, we've got what Derek Close is going to be doing with the Thread. Then we have this massive senior housing project, apartment project, whatever, at where the Harrell property is. Then we cross the street, and we've got, I've forgotten all these acronyms, the Link, I think, which is the Good Motor Company project, more apartments there. We've got Joe Lanford, who I had on the program here a week or two ago, talking about what he's going to be doing with that Wells Fargo property. It's more, I mean, we've got probably, and I don't think this is an overstatement, probably 1,000 new apartments, condos, whatever you want to call them, coming out of the ground here in the next couple of years. And that is going to create a lot more human traffic and automobile traffic.
But hopefully the good thing is that at least a good chunk of those folks, and I think it's reasonable to expect 10, 15, 20% of those folks will probably work downtown as well. Because as you know, the Thread is basically an office building proposal, and we need to, we get the biggest bang for our buck out of our investment in all of these parking decks if we have a balance of apartments and office space, because apartment people go away during the day, and that's when the office people need the parking.
Right.
And so they work well in tandem with each other. And every time we have someone who works and lives in close proximity, those are cars that we don't have to plan for going down Dave Lyle Boulevard.
Bingo. Well, of course, the whole premise behind Knowledge Park, the whole concept of Knowledge Park, was to get more opportunity for people to work here so they could get off the interstate. Which, interestingly enough, I'll never forget former Mayor Doug Eccles sitting here years ago saying that, he said, quote, you know, I-77 will soon be rated an F. I said, excuse me, what do you mean an F? He said, well, you'll drive down Cherry Road, I think this is by 2025 or something, you'll get on the on-ramp and you're going to stop. You're not going to go anywhere because the traffic will be so congested. Well, you know what? He was right on the money because it's already stopping at 160.
Yep.
I mean, it just stops in the morning and you just creep your way in. So people obviously are looking for alternatives, and what's going on in Rock Hill is certainly presenting that opportunity. Okay, with that being said, we're going from, let's see now, we've gone from one parking deck, which is the one that used to be across from, well, still is, across from the police department, to what will be 7, 8, or 9 parking decks in a matter of a couple of years. We already have one by the Fountain Park Plaza building. We got that brand new 800, I guess it is.
700 some odd.
700, yeah. Well, who's counting?
Yeah.
Right there next to the indoor sports arena. And there's going to be, like, what, 2 more decks in there, and then another deck in front of the Thread Project, and I'm sure a deck for the
Herald Project.
The Herald Project. I mean, deck.
Yeah.
Whew! I can't imagine all this.
Yeah, and you know, the other thing to first keep in mind, and what we planners are out there to remind folks of, is there's going to be changes in the way people relate to vehicles over the next 10, 20 years. We all know that. And we already see it in many of the younger folks these days who don't necessarily feel like they need a car.
Right.
They don't embrace the car culture the way that some of us baby boomers did when we were growing up.
Oh yeah.
And so, you know, we need to be careful as we use this these parking decks, because there may be less demand. In fact, most people say there probably will be less demand down the road. The good news is, what that means is we can build more stuff. And ultimately, what's going to make Knowledge Park successful is when it has the feel of being a real place where all of these things are. The restaurants. Gosh knows we have enough places to get a beer downtown these days. And all of those things that make it exciting, make it a special place.
Talk to me about the proposed or the status of the pedestrian bridge that's going to hook the two sides of Dave Law Boulevard together.
Yeah, that's being looked at right now, and I'm involved with it, but not directly involved. But certainly figuring out how the two ends of that will land in those two projects that you mentioned here earlier is something that's being currently looked at right now. Yeah. Getting across there is not the problem. Takes a little bit of money, but and it takes getting the gods at the Norfolk Southern Railroad to nod their heads appropriately. That may be the toughest challenge, but yeah, it's being studied in real depth right now.
What I really liked was when they did the focus groups, and they asked people about the bridge, and I attended the last meeting, and the people made it very clear: we do not want just any bridge across that Dave Law Boulevard. We want something that people can have artwork on, and they can have a concert on, and they can have bicycles on. I mean, something like they have in Prague, except couldn't quite be that big. It'll be interesting to see what comes out of all of that, for sure. Well, Bill, congratulations again to you and the department on the Open for Business Award, and thanks for all that you do to keep the city straight and narrow, keep us on the right track.
Okay, well, thank you so much.
All right, and that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors, online at AndersonGriggs.com. All right, Bill Meyer, you got one chance to redeem yourself, and that is to tell us, along with me, about Substation 2. Oh, my God, the good doctor arrived in time. Fresh subs and salads 7 days a week. Scott, I want you to tell Bill how this is done. 1, 2, 3. Slice, 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 slice. Garden, garden, garden. Not bad. All right. Somebody help Bill Meyer out. That'll wrap up our program. See you tomorrow. Bye.